All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn, and it's already weird. We didn't even start recording, and it's already weird. Here's the thing. This is why I love this show.
Yeah.
So, since you're hearing us but not seeing us, I might sound different today, because as is so against my grain, as is so outside of my every fiber of my being, me and David switched seats.
It was such a big deal. He texted me beforehand, said, "We're switching seats. Deal with it."
I'm the guy who's, when I went into class, like in school, and I got a seat, I sat in that seat every single day. And if somebody was sitting in it, I made a move. Like, either that or like if I was intimidated by them, like if it was a girl, I would just like act sick and take the absence. But I hate changing seats. But this is why I love the show, because I thought to myself, it's a pretty quiet, there's not a ton of news,
mm-hmm.
Pikachus, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And so I thought, I'm nervous and I'm, you know, we need to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But then,
oh boy. Here we are.
But then while we were setting up, you already said some really weird shit to me. And I'm thinking, I should have sat on my side of the table and just left it be. Because I should have never doubted for a second that there would be not adequate movie news to review.
If only you trusted yourself.
We didn't even press record, and you already have me dying like Judy Garland. Nobody knows what Judy Garland looks like, but we'll get back. We'll get to that later. We're going to come back to that. But I'm just going to let you out there listen and think about Judy Garland.
Oh, man. Hey, there were some big news.
Wait. Well, first of all, because I know we have some moms that listen.
Oh, man.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, moms.
We got the best moms ever.
Every one of them is a Penn Cinema podcast mom.
That's it. In my opinion. We love them. Okay. So we got stuff to do.
Yeah. Okay. So the two big heavy hitters here.
Wow.
Marvel came out with their new timeline. And yeah. It's like, they're not going to take too much time off. What is it, 2021 or something?
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I don't got time to wait around.
Right. Life is short, man.
Yeah. But they didn't have names for him, as far as I saw. Did you see names for him?
I did not. And okay. I actually spent some time digging into this.
Okay.
And I eventually thought to myself, I'm going to need David to explain this to me. Do you have some good sort of speculation? Do the cool kids know what's what?
So I read some speculation. We got Doctor Strange 2 coming.
Okay.
We have Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is probably going to be the next one.
Okay.
Because that
makes sense.
Because they said that's filming like right after Suicide Squad.
Okay.
So then the thought was Guardians of the Galaxy 3, then Doctor Strange. Oh, no, Black Widow. Because that has a start time for filming. Then Doctor Strange.
Has there been a Black Widow yet? There hasn't. Because I was thinking that during Avengers. I was thinking, how come she never got her own?
Yeah. The question is, where is it going to be placed?
Yeah.
Is it going to be prequels? Is it going to be some weird side story? I think a lot of things. Okay, first off, we're at the head of the show. Russo Brothers lifted the spoiler ban.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, we can talk about Avengers.
Tough shit.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. So I think that Spider-Man.
I will just say, podcast@penncinema.com. I don't think there's anybody who listens to this podcast that has not. Let me know if I'm wrong.
Mm.
Did you care enough about movies to listen to a movie podcast, and yet you didn't get out to see Avengers yet?
My boy Jim just saw Avengers today, and he told me he like he hit a wall. He loves our show. He hit a wall, and he's like, "I gotta stop. I can't listen anymore. I gotta go see Avengers." But he was waiting for it. he's like, "Oh man." He also said he used to own a theater out in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he said, when you're ready to expand out there,
yeah,
you got yourself a built-in manager.
Oh, thank God. Because that's the one thing that was keeping us out of Nebraska.
Was if you had a manager. Right.
Everybody was like, Nebraska makes all the sense in the world, but where will we get a manager?
I just don't know.
Right. If we could just solve that piece.
Oh, man, you'd be glad to know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man trailer hints at
at
parallel universes.
Yeah.
So who knows what could happen with her? Then you have Black Panther 2,
mm-hmm.
And there was another one. The Elementals, Eternals.
Yeah.
Are on the list. So that's like
the Eternals. I thought had a date. No.
It might.
I think.
So I might have mixed
21.
This up a little bit. So maybe Eternals is further up than I thought. But they got movies out there, and I think they have dates without that. Like, people are like, I don't know what it could be. Who knows?
You know what is missing from this? And I read that a lot of people have noticed is, what are we doing with Captain Marvel?
Oh, yeah. That's true. She is a tough character, man. She's too OP, overpowered. She's just like, I was really kind of, I mean.
Wait, overpowered?
Yeah. She's overpowered.
Oh, like she has too much power.
Yeah, she's
like they powered
too
her
strong.
Too strong. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like her character. It's hard to come up with a problem.
Right.
Beyond her reach.
Right. Maybe she could be like in a romantic comedy.
It's straight up.
Because dating is some crazy shit.
She thought she had it all under control.
Hey, girl.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. Okay. Well, so the Marvel timeline looks insane.
Yeah. Which is enough. I mean, Marvel timeline comes out of Disney, and you're thinking to yourself, that's enough news for 6 months.
Right.
We can chew on this for 6 months.
Right.
5 minutes later.
Star Wars timeline drops. Okay. Hit me with what you know about this one.
Yeah. I don't know much. I mean, what I read was your boy, Rain.
My boy.
Your boy who has ruined more Star Wars movies than anybody.
George Lucas.
Right. Which is saying a lot. Your boy Rain has another trilogy coming.
Yeah.
And I also reread what we already knew about J.J. Abrams coming in to save Episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird that they would get rid of him for Episode 9 but then keep him on for a future trilogy.
I think that's crazy weird.
Do you think it's BS?
This is what when The Last Jedi first came out and I was shell-shocked because – Didn't Rian Johnson, didn't he do, or Rian, whatever his name is, the Johnson, didn't he used to do...
We can call him Rain.
Rain?
Because I'm pretty sure that's wrong, but I don't, like, it's our little way of, like...
I'm knocking him down a peg?
Right.
Okay, so Rian Johnson, didn't he do the Planet of the Apes movies?
I don't know.
I thought he did. He did something else that I liked, and then he did this, and it felt like The Last Jedi was made... not having any clue what was happening in The Force Awakens.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, they were made really close together, but there wasn't enough communication.
Right.
Like, he didn't know Rey's parents was going to be a thing. He didn't know Snoke was going to be built up as much as he was. Yeah. Like,
how does that happen?
Bad communication.
I mean, sometimes here at Penn Cinema, we forget to tell each other, like, but we don't have billions of dollars. We don't spend, you know, years planning out.
And these guys, I mean, Disney has Marvel. You'd think they'd know what they were doing.
Hmm.
I don't know. So I feel like maybe if he had, I might eat these words hard. Maybe if he did a trilogy all on its own, standalone, it might not be the worst thing that ever happened. Maybe.
May 13th, 2019.
I signed my own death certificate. Right.
No, I don't know. I feel like you are over dramatic on that topic. Like, I don't think
what?
He's as bad. What? That's crazy.
I'm insulted.
I feel like I agree with you, and I don't think it's that big of a leap. Like, I feel like, yeah. So we'll give him a shot.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right. But there's more movies than that coming out, isn't there?
I just have one more thing to say.
Yeah.
And you know how I love to contradict myself.
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, you can't believe that Rain is as awful as you think he is, because studios aren't going to let somebody who is sucking, you know, steer a multi-billion dollar franchise.
Yui Bowl.
But then again, right? I mean, us as moviegoers, but also my day-to-day life dealing with studios, like, these people often do not make sense, you know, and they often are driven by things that are unrelated to the making a quality movie, political, you know,
corporate
stuff. And I'm not even just saying greed, because, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I would never fault any of the studios for wanting to make a ton of money. But sometimes I just feel like they don't always make the best decisions. So therefore, your thought process that, you know, Rain couldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Who's his uncle? Who's his father-in-law?
Bob's his uncle.
Who's his grandfather? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you just, that kind of stuff happens in Hollywood where, you know, there's these family relationships or special relationships or, you know.
We're going to have to look it up, because I really feel like he did Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And I liked the new Planet of the Apes.
All right.
So, I don't know. All right. So, moving on. Godzilla, King of Monsters. The director, Mike Daughtry. This movie's not even out yet, and they're already talking about how he's going to do more things. He said there's a potential interest in directing a prehistoric timeline Godzilla movie.
We have Godzilla King of the Monsters coming out in like a week, and mm-hmm. then a few weeks, and then we have Godzilla vs. Kong
in a few
like
years.
Like a year. Yeah. No, like a year.
Only a year?
I think it's 2020.
Okay.
First of all, I'm completely on board. I think this is brilliant. But second of all, I hope it stays like, obviously it will, because they can't just crank it out in 10 months.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's cool.
It
would like take place?
Prehistoric time. So it'd be like, in these new movies, these monsters are quote unquote waking up, but this would take place like...
Before they go to sleep.
Before they go to sleep, yeah.
I'm down for that. Are there cavemen?
I don't know. Do we need cavemen?
Yeah. Come on, man. Let's get... What are they...
Cavemen with current speech dialects and British accents and stuff. Yeah. I mean, why not? What I see in my head is like, you know, the old Godzillas, they'd always fight in the gully or whatever, like the desert.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever was up backstage in the soundstage. Right. And I'm down with seeing that rather than busting up the cities and stuff, because eventually my dumb brain, like when I'm watching Pacific Rim, I'm just like, man, that's a lot of people dying. That's a lot of buildings getting smashed. Like, and I just start thinking about infrastructure and all that stuff. Anyway. This is big news.
Okay.
Big news.
Wait, is it Dune news?
No, it's not Dune news.
Okay.
I don't
know what King Shark is.
Michael Roker, right?
Okay.
You know, James Gunn's boy.
Yeah.
He's going to play King Shark in Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Some more Suicide Squad news for a character that may or may not be a good guy or a bad guy. Who knows? But it's a character that looks like a big beefy dude with a shark head.
That's awesome.
A hammerhead shark
head.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, great.
I was reading an article about 2020.
And how it's hindsight is perfect.
Something like that. And it was talking about Suicide. It was like this movie, and then it named the cast. Yeah. And then it said this other movie, and it named the cast. And then it said Suicide Squad, which it's easier to name who's not going to be in it. Like, how many weeks in a row are we going to show up here to do this podcast and report another person set to star in Suicide Squad?
Well, I'm mostly doing it now because it's ridiculous.
Because it's fun. It's sports.
Yeah. It's like the new Dune news.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly what it's turned into. Yeah.
Which makes me nervous for Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, Michael Roker, or however you say his name, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't let me down yet, so.
Well, who's the girl, Haley?
In
Suicide Squad.
Harley?
Harley.
Yeah.
She's getting her own movie.
Yeah, supposedly.
That's going to be great.
What's it called? Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of Harley Quinn?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
And the article I read, I thought of you, because it said something along the lines of, the only thing everybody could agree on about that was good about Suicide Squad was Harley Quinn.
Right.
So let's give her own movie. So yeah. Yeah. So that's it made perfect sense when I read that.
Really, Margot Robbie, she does great in
yeah,
that role.
She's awesome.
Keep going, man.
Okay, so I have actual news. So I was at, yeah, this is like grown-up stuff.
You belittling Michael Roker?
Actually, it's not actual news. It's just sort of something interesting to talk about.
Okay.
So I was at, you know, we got the Red Rose Film Festival happening mm-hmm. in November.
Yeah.
And I was at an event we hosted the other night, and there was a guy there that owns a production company called Triode Media.
Okay.
The guy's name is Pete. He was incredibly impressive. And he was really savvy on, like, tax credits and how Pennsylvania has a cap on their tax credits. So after Philly and Pittsburgh are done cranking out whatever movies and filming type of projects, doesn't even have to be a feature film. It could be, I don't know, I mean, it could be documentary. It could be, I think there's even, like, advertising, tourism type of things. But once you hit a certain cap, the tax credit is capped, and then there's not really money left for the rest of the state. That's not how the law is written, but that's the way it plays out. And it is written with a cap. So he was educating our group about how Georgia has actually more movie making in it than any other state in the country, including the obvious. I mean, I would have thought California was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, for our listeners, I said to David when he walked in, did you know that Georgia does more movie making than any other state? And he's like, yeah, I knew that. So it's just dumb Penn catching up, you know, with the rest of you guys.
Well, see, the reason I know that is I have some friends that work in the film industry.
Gotcha.
And one of them has been in Georgia for quite some time.
Yeah.
Working on, I guess, Breaking Bad and was there. Or no, The Walking Dead was there.
Well, as you know, I've watched the credits, the end credits for Avengers like 46 times.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you see before they go to Tony Stark clanging in his thing in the cave is Georgia Peach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I never thought anything of it until I heard Pete talking. And I thought to myself, oh, that makes a lot of sense. All the Marvel movies have that. And they get some kind of tax credit for filming in Georgia. And then, according to him, who I believe, it's like they get some, let's say it's 20%. If you put the Georgia Peach on the end of your film, it goes up to 30%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a pretty neat trick.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so what was in the news? It was really interesting because I learned that. I was educated on that, I think, Thursday night. And then today there's a piece in The Hollywood Reporter that Georgia has passed some very conservative anti-abortion law, like the heartbeat bill, I think they call it. And there's a bunch of producers who are saying, well, we're not going to film in Georgia anymore. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Because filmmakers and the movie industry in general, I think, tend to be a little bit more I don't want to just paint everybody with a broad brush because we're all individuals. But they tend to lean a little bit more liberal. And apparently, the Georgia legislature is pretty conservative.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that sort of all plays out.
It'll be interesting to see what wins out. Ideals or money.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Or how long they hold out on either direction.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so I thought that was an interesting – you know how like you learn a new word and then you hear it all the time? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
With Georgia. Yeah. I still have no reason or interest in going to Georgia.
No.
Don't get me wrong. It seems like it's really hot and far away.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You want to work there? No. Right.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. So – Universal is planning a female-fronted Fast and Furious spinoff built around Charlize Theron's character, Cypher, from the last one.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Humming.
Every time I comment, I'm like, I'm in love with this girl. They're just like, uh-huh. And then you come back.
Yeah, I mean, sign me up. Like, when does it open? Do they need extras? I'm on board. I think, I mean, there's two things I love about this news. Obviously, we love Charlize Theron, or however we're saying mm-hmm. her name. we love her. She's talented. She's gorgeous. She was great in Long Shot. We've loved her in everything. But I also love the concept of a female-fronted Fast and the Furious. Like, I just think that'll be badass.
Do you think they bring back Gal Gadot?
Ooh.
They could.
Why not?
Right? We never saw the body.
Oh, is that what they're
saying? Hashtag we never saw the body.
Yeah, no, that would be cool.
No, I think this is cool. So far, the Fast and the Furious have gone so far off the rails, and I love everything about it.
The further they go off the rail, the more we love them.
Yeah, it's like the closer they were to reality, the less I liked it.
How does this news relate, if at all, to the Hobbs and Shaw?
I could see it totally being completely separate.
Yeah, okay. You know. So Hobbs and Shaw is really a legit spinoff.
Yeah, and this I think this would be another one.
Okay.
Unless it would be Fast and the Furious.
Because then I also saw a trailer for Fast and Furious 9.
What? Get out of town. You know.
Must have been a fan.
I don't know anyone who gets fooled by fan trailers as much as you do. A man who lives and works around trailers all the time.
Fast and Furious 12, coming soon.
Coming soon. Okay, all right.
I do fall for that.
You fall so hard. Dumb. I do. I'm just like, this is clearly video game
now,
footage.
in retrospect, I did not click on the trailer.
Okay.
I just thought to myself, huh, that's weird.
I mean, maybe it's real.
No.
I don't know everything.
I'm sure that it's not. All right. All speaking right. of real.
Okay.
I have some news, but really, it might be old news. Did we know about Dr. Dolittle coming out in January?
I did not know it was coming out in January. I only heard that it was a maybe.
First of all, Dr. Dolittle, I'm 100% on board. I read the books when I was little.
Yeah.
I loved the character. Isn't there like a two-headed goat or something like that? Like,
no.
I just seem to there's like a push-me-pull-you animal type of thing. That sounds funny, a two-headed goat. we need to come back to the two-headed goat because I have a great story about a two-headed dog.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, Dr. Dolittle comes out in January of 2020, which in and of itself is great. But let's read this cast.
Okay. Hit me.
The star as Dr. Dolittle, Robert Downey Jr. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that this, like, if they said Dr. Dolittle was coming out in 2024 starring Robert Downey Jr., I might be like, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see. But this is like, he's obviously already filmed it or he's in the process of filming it. Like, we're not too far away from January of 2020.
Right.
All right. So he's the main character. The voices of the animals include Rami Malek, John Cena, Emma Thompson, Octavia Spencer, Tom Holland, Selena Gomez, and Ralph Fiennes. How do we say Fiennes?
Fiennes.
Anyway, what a list.
No.
I mean, any
crazy.
One of them alone would be great. So I think this movie, all of a sudden, gives me something to look forward to after Star Wars. Right after our
Spaceball screening. What are you doing after this? I'm going to see Dr. Dolittle.
Doubleheader, man.
No, this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Dr. Dolittle. I remember watching the old movie, not the Eddie Murphy one, but the one before
that
a lot. Yeah, I'm totally down. And the voices, man.
Perfect.
And the only thing that would turn me off from this is if the first trailer is like the Ugly Dolls trailer where it's all like all these vocals and just music.
Right.
It's so cool. Yeah, that would throw me off. But I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to be good.
So, all right, tell us about this two-headed dog.
So, I have a nephew named Gabe.
He's a two-
who I love.
He's a two-headed dog?
No.
Oh, okay.
But when he was young, he came over to my house. And my neighbor, he lives out on the West Coast, so he didn't come over a whole lot. And when he came over, it was like a big trip for him. And you have his eyes would be like, everything was new to him and fascinating and like interesting. And so across the street, my neighbors used to have a dog that they would keep chained, had like a dog house, you know, not chained like in a bad way, but just normal, like on a leash type of thing. What do you call it? Like a runner. And I would tell Gabe, you know, what the deal is with that dog. And he'd say, what? I said, well, it's a two-headed dog. And we'd both be staring at it, and I'd say, but it's not just any old two-headed dog. It's a two-headed dog that only has one head.
What?
That's even more rare. Like, there's lots of dogs that only have one head. And, of course, there's two-headed dogs. But to find a two-headed dog They only have one head.
Oh my!
Wow, that's a rarity. And I laid this on him thick. You know, he just his little mind would be melting. He didn't know what to do. He's gonna go.
I can just imagine him at home, Dad. Yeah. Uncle Ben sitting two-headed dog with only one head.
Wow. Oh, my brother. My other nephew, he's much younger. Gabe, this story was years. Gabe's a full-blown adult now, doing his own thing, having a good life out there. But my other nephew, who is now like 11, I want to say. I could be wrong. But he hasn't seen Avengers yet. So we were talking to him today, Mother's Day, and I said to him, you want to see it in IMAX? Like, that's where the cool kids, you know, go.
Yeah.
And he said, no, he wants to see it in recliners. I said, tough. I'm getting you passes to IMAX. Come on. And if you don't want IMAX, we're going to go watch it in Ephrata. Come on.
Come on. Seriously. No recliners for him.
So, yeah. So, two-headed dog that only had one head.
Amazing. Amazing. Is the dog still alive?
Right. Yes. No, I don't know. I don't. Either the dog's not alive or they finally moved it inside.
It died from single head complications.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot for a two-headed dog to go through.
All right. Okay. Trailers. Time for trailers. A big one came out this week. Two big ones came out this week, but the big one. What, you don't think it's that big?
Oh, no, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I just can't get my head around. I think this is what 2019 is all about. Like, just one massive, incredible trailer after another this year. Is this what movie going is teed up for us for the next 8 months?
Welcome to trailer fandom. You've been living in the dark for too long, my friend.
I was thinking on this topic of, like, I was thinking this morning about the Joker trailer.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at my mom's, of course, today.
Yeah.
And I said, I was like, hey, let's look at some stuff. I got open up her laptop. So she says, oh, are we going to look at trailers? And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, big surprise.
One day you should do that and whip out your laptop and have like old family pictures.
I just wanted to look at these photos.
You should like put your photos together in a film reel. Yeah, and like doctor it up with the green band. Yes, absolutely.
That'd be
great.
So Spider-Man Far From Home trailer 2.
Yes.
Came out, and when it came out, it had a warning about don't watch this if you haven't seen Endgame, and then proceeded to blow my mind from end to beginning.
Yeah.
Mysterio, they hint that the multiverse might be a real thing and that Mysterio is from the multiverse.
Spell this out for me, because my thinking is I loved this trailer,
uh-huh,
but I felt like there was more going on than I was qualified to understand.
Well, so hold on. Let me get Professor Moulton in here.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Who's the there was an actor I was surprised to see in the trailer. I forget.
Is it Happy Hogan? The guy from Iron Man?
No. Okay. So tell me about Mysterio.
So in this trailer, they allude that the snap, we don't know which snap, caused a tear in dimensions, and that Mysterio is a hero from a parallel dimension in our dimension somehow.
Whoa.
Now, Mysterio as a character historically is a liar who makes up a big, elaborate story of why he's a hero, and then proceeds to manufacture problems that he solves.
Gotcha.
So that leads you to wonder, is there really a multiverse? Because Avengers supposedly fixed that when they put the stones back.
Right.
Or is that this just a hoax from Mysterio to get in with S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know, but the line of the trailer is, Spider-Man's on vacation. He says, "What about Thor off planet? What about Captain Marvel not available? Right. Says, I'm just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man." Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson says, "Bitch, please, you've been to space."
I like the line where the one kid's like, he's like,
he asks the other kid, what's your obsession with Spider-Man? And guy's like, oh, he's great for the neighborhood. He's got a dope-ass suit, and he's tight with Iron. I don't know. He said, like, defended him, yeah. You know, and then, like, Peter Parker's back there, like, grinning, and the guy who's, like, sticking up for Spider-Man looks at him and goes, what's up, dickwad? I can't wait. I'm excited for this movie. I thought the trailer was great.
Yeah.
That was cool beans.
Got to see a bunch of different suits. I think
his suits look a lot, and it's cool.
Yeah.
They look a lot like Iron Man suits.
Well, especially, he's got the Iron Spider suit at the beginning.
Right.
And then they show him in the suit from the first Spider-Man movie. But then he's got like a darker black suit.
Yeah.
So I think S.H.I.E.L.D. gives him the full black one. And then I don't know, the last one, maybe it's something like Tony left him behind or something. The full black one. Or the black and red.
Wasn't he tight with Black Widow?
Sure. Okay, the other big hitter for this.
Yeah.
Lead us into this one.
It, too.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this trailer... Okay, so great trailer.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me about this trailer is that they're already... built. A lot of times they go to a third movie to bill the end of the franchise.
Okay.
But they're already billing this as, like, the conclusion of It.
Isn't it only a two-movie deal? Well,
apparently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why?
Well, it was... So the book is broken into... You haven't read the book, right?
Wake me up when you're done talking about so books.
The story of It.
Okay. That's a safer way to proceed.
Takes place in two timelines.
So are you telling me the first movie was like the first half of the book?
Well, yes and no. In the story, it's interwoven and it switches back and forth between when they were young and when they were old.
Okay.
So for the movies, they just did when they were young.
Gotcha.
And now they're doing 25 years later when they're older.
It is the conclusion of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's 25 years later and the loser gang has to come back together to fight It.
Yeah.
But a lot of interesting things here. Really creepy. I mean, I watched the last one mostly with my eyes shut.
Right.
I'll probably do it again. But in this trailer, when the little old lady, like, dances out in the background, I was like,
what? Yeah.
You know? But I watched a breakdown, and there's just, like, things that I didn't even know. But people were like, oh, the tea she's drinking in that scene is apparently, like, feces, and according to the book. Like, because that old lady is It.
Yeah.
And so she's drinking feces there, and then... just like a bunch of really weird things. So apparently, like, some of the scenes where you see It and the people in the background are just standing still, supposedly he's influenced the town so much that, like, the town is almost, like, completely under his control. And they're just, like, unresponsive.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks insane.
I wonder if I should read this book. How much time do we have? It comes out in the fall. Yeah, I got time.
We got time.
I gotta start Dune.
You gotta start.
Yeah.
You have a list of books that you're never gonna start.
No, I'll read them. Yeah. I'm on it. I said it in public, so.
How many exercise books do you have to read before you get to these? That's the question.
Well, I just finished that one that I was looking forward to.
Okay.
Riley's book, which frankly sucked.
Oh, wasn't worth it.
There's any triathletes listening to this podcast. And you're excited because you love Mike Riley, because we all do, because he's a freaking rock star. Mm-hmm. Don't waste your time. Borrow my copy. Take my copy.
Please. Okay, here's one that I didn't get to watch. The Lodge.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
First, I have something funny to say.
Okay.
I'm watching this movie, or this trailer, and I'm scared of – I have a fear. Last week you showed us this trailer. What was it called? The kid gets shot in the knee.
And one in the cabin. Yeah,
It was like White Skin or something.
Winter Skin. White Skin.
And you're telling me how god awful this movie is, right? Or this trailer.
Yeah.
So now I'm watching this trailer for The Lodge, and I'm nervous. Because I thought it looked awesome, but I no longer feel qualified. Like, what if I think it's awesome and it turns out it's like a joke, or B, it's not a joke, but it's actual crap. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think this looks like a legit movie. The trailer was, I thought it was brilliant, scared the hell out of me.
Okay.
It starts out with a little bit of the feeling of The Shining.
Oh.
It's like you got like a mom and some kids, or it's not even a mom. It's like it's either a stepmom or a stepgirlfriend type of figure. And she's filling in.
What is a stepgirlfriend?
Somebody who's replaced your mom, but she hasn't married your dad yet.
Okay. I thought. Oh, this is my girlfriend, and this is my step girlfriend. It's like, I don't know how this works. Yeah.
Come on.
No, I don't know how that would work either. It certainly wouldn't work for me. So anyway, so there's a man with a woman who he's obviously together with. It's unclear to me if they're married or dating. And they go to this cabin with his two children, and it's clear that the mother has recently passed away. And in the trailer, it's now revealed that the girlfriend or new wife or whatever has some creepy past.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, for some incredibly stupid reason, the dad has to leave. So the dad leaves, and now they're stuck, the three of them, at this cabin. They don't like each other, and a blizzard comes. And so now it's just like The Shining. They're trapped. And I think it looks like I'm hoping that another movie comes out on the same day so that we don't review it. So, so I don't have to watch it. But I think this movie looked great. The Lodge is what I'm talking about. If you're into horror movies, The Lodge is the one for you.
I feel like if we have to watch this movie, if it's the only thing coming out, you gotta have to watch it in the theater by yourself so we can yell and make fun of it. It's the only reason that we'll survive.
You know what we should do? We used to do this in the old days here at Penn Cinema. Watch the movie like late at night by ourselves. Like being alone. Like I often watch movies by myself, but it's usually in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff going on in the building. People are coming and going. There's deliveries. Bob's doing stuff around the building. Drew's here. Like there's sort of activity. The building is awake and it's daytime. Even though you're in a dark theater.
Right.
It's daytime. There's a whole nother thing. Being alone in this building in the middle of the night is creepy. And one time we were watching a movie late at night. I forget what the movie was. I don't think it was a scary movie per se. But we were all watching it. There was like four or five of us. And the power went out. And so the only thing worse than being alone in the building at night is being alone in the building with no power, because then the like emergency lights are on batteries. They kick on. And so now there's all kinds of new creepy shadows because there's like light, but there's not quite enough. There's just enough light to find your way out of the building, but not enough to see what that creepy thing is around the corner that's coming for you. So that's what we'll have to do. We'll watch this movie.
We'll start it
at like midnight after, you know, everybody leaves.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. So Judy.
Judy.
This is where it got weird for me today.
Judy, a biopic of Judy Garland.
A what now?
Biopic? Biopic?
There you go. Sorry. Go ahead. Tell us about the biopic. I love it. All right. It's a fascinating biopic about Judy Garland.
About Judy Garland.
Right. Not Judy Collins.
No.
That's a whole different person, I think.
Starring Renee Zellweger.
Who normally, I kind of like, I'm mixed on her.
Yeah.
When pressed, I'm a fan.
Right.
But she's really easy to make fun of.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she got that squishy face, you know, they make fun of on Saturday Night Live.
I used to say that if you took her chin and Angelina Jolie's lips, you could make a whole new person.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. But yes, you're right.
Yeah. This looks really good.
Yes.
For what the trailer shows, which is honestly a lot of dramatic scenes and not a lot of dialogue or story, really. I don't feel.
There's a lot of spinning.
There's a lot of spinning, yeah.
Right. We both noticed there was a lot of spinning.
Yeah. And here's what happened. When you were watching it, I said, oh, it's crazy. Sometimes she really looks like Renee. Sometimes she really looks like Judy Garland. Right. And you said, how do you know what Judy Garland looks like?
Who the hell knows what Judy Garland looks like? I mean, everybody has a mental image. We all, when you say Judy Garland, everybody gets a mental image.
Right.
But I feel like you're the only person who's like, oh, yeah, she really looked a lot like Judy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you could walk, you could go downstairs and grab somebody with pretty dark hair, you know, who's not gigantically tall or unusually short, and bring him in the office and say, doesn't she look just like Judy Garland? I'd be like, she sure does,
she
man.
She sure does.
Somewhere over the rainbow, baby. But not David Moulton. Dave would be like, no, no, her nose is all wrong.
You don't get, you don't see it like I see
her
it.
Her eyes are too close together.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I know.
Yeah.
What can I say?
I see that.
What can I say? I watched this afternoon with my mom, and she said, this movie is going to attract a lot of people my age. She said, because it's, she said, there weren't hundreds of celebrities when she was a kid.
Right.
There were like 60.
Right. If that.
If that.
Yeah.
And so she said she remembers Judy Garland being a big deal with Marilyn Monroe or something. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Who? I think that, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that Judy Garland it's hard to put it into words. I was trying to sort of say Mr. Rogers, but that doesn't do it justice. I feel like she is exemplifies the phrase, she's a beloved person.
Yeah.
You know, like people just, like she went through the entirety of her career and never pissed anybody off. Like she, you know, she was really beloved, and she was in an era where if she did have problems, it wasn't really common knowledge. And I don't know if she did. I'm not saying she did. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, I think people are going to – the older crowd is going to come out hard for this movie, and the younger crowd is going to be like, what now?
So from Judy Garland's number one fan, Penn Ketchum,
right.
This is going to be a hit.
It's going to be in Theater One, just so we're clear.
Okay. I don't know if you got a chance to watch this next trailer. I'm going to guess no.
Well, I Googled it. Like, I went on YouTube and pulled up Sky Sharks.
You don't even need to watch it. You just need a single image of this trailer to know what's going on.
Well, when I pulled it up, it was like I had to choose which Sky Sharks I wanted, the one from 2015, 2017, or 2019. That was my first red flag.
Your first problem.
Right.
This popped under my radar. They're like, Sky Sharks come in 2019. Get ready for this ridiculousness. And I watched the trailer, and it looks like – you and I made a movie.
I think that's generous.
Yeah. You and I paid someone to make a bad movie. Okay. And it's horrible, horrible imagery of flying sharks. I couldn't really tell. The sharks might have planes strapped.
Is this just
to
somebody?
I don't know.
Is this somebody ripping off Sharknado?
No, I think this is someone ripping off like those Nazis from the Moon movies.
Mm.
You know.
Well, I saw in the plot description of the Sky Sharks trailer that the shark, however they're flying because of Nazis. The Nazis have them flying.
Clearly.
Right. No, that's what it says in the plot description.
Why would I have ever thought anything otherwise?
You just thought that was assumed.
I mean, sharks in the sky? You tell me that Sharknado's not involved with the Nazis? I don't even know. I said, is this real? Can't be in
right.
our notes. Cause I can't imagine. It didn't say that it was getting released anywhere, but all the articles I read about it were like, this is coming out.
Right.
And I don't know what to think about the world. Well, we'll never see it. So
speaking of movies, we'll never see.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, let me rephrase that. Speaking of movies we will enjoy watching in our living rooms.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I am mother.
So I wasn't sure if this one qualified because it showed at the Sundance Film Festival where
well,
they show.
You know who's in charge of this podcast?
Film. Oh.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
So we could just do whatever we want.
We can do whatever.
If we want to talk about this trailer, we can talk about this trailer.
So this movie explores the idea of robots raising children.
Yeah. No, robots raising child.
Child.
With singular. The hopes of expanding to raise more children.
Right.
If it goes well.
Which they allude that it may not go well.
I'll bet you $100 it goes well. There's no way this movie ends with them not.
Giving robots kids?
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
I just don't.
Are you going to watch this?
Yeah. I actually,
It's fun to make fun of Netflix, but I thought the trailer looked dope, and I can't wait to see this. Like, it will be on my list of things to see. Now, it does come out on June 7th, which I believe is the same day as Toy Story.
Oh.
So we should have our hands full in the movie business.
Right.
But in the television world, there's always nice to have something good on TV. So I will absolutely watch I Am Mother on my TV set at home.
I'm definitely interested in seeing it. I don't know if it'll be like watch right away, but
yeah, no, absolutely.
It'll be one of those ones I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Right.
I'm gonna watch this movie. So, all right, well, that ends our trailer section. But now we got to talk about what happened this week and weekend at the theater.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, it was a little bit predictable, but there was one that surprised me. So I think last week we said Avengers and Pokemon were going to be neck and neck, or at least that's what I was saying. Everywhere else that I talked about.
You talked to other people? I'm insulted.
I go on the Rose every Monday morning. I'm sorry, Fun 101. I go on Fun 101 every Monday morning and talk to them about the movies. And it's increasingly hard now for the last 16 weeks to do so without referencing the podcast. But I think that would be in poor form, right? I would imagine radio stations are anti.
I don't know. You should ask them that question because they might be fine with it. I mean, you're doing them a favor, right?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this relationship.
Oh.
We always have it's a classic win-win. And depending on who you ask and what time of year, sometimes it feels like I'm doing them a favor, and sometimes it feels like they're doing me a favor.
Okay.
So it's just I've had a great relationship with Fun 101. It has been so good for so long that we have really moved past the whole question of, like, who's it better for?
Right.
You know, so it's really great. But anyway, so I was telling everybody I was talking to that I thought it was going to be neck and neck with Avengers and Pokemon. I think I pretty much thought Avengers would take the weekend, which they did. I was a little surprised that Avengers took more of the weekend. You know, it really beat Pokemon by a good bit. Pokemon did manage a solid $58 million opening weekend, which is very good for any movie. The part of the movie news this weekend that caught me by surprise, and I don't want to be overly harsh, but I thought Tolkien would be a bigger movie.
I didn't even realize it was this weekend.
That's how bad their marketing campaign was. Because you were psyched for it, right?
I am. I've been seeing ads for it, but all the ads make it look like it's not coming out for another week or two.
Yeah.
I mean, without watching them, because I mean, I can't watch them over and over and over again. So,
right.
I didn't even realize it was this weekend.
Yeah. So it came out, I think I told you I saw it a number of weeks ago. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And the reviews from people who did see it this weekend were very strong. So this movie might be do we all know about the platform concept? Like, platform release is when they release it like 1 week in New York and LA,
mm-hmm.
and then the next week it's New York, LA, Dallas, Chicago, you know, and then they add Miami, and then they add, you know, so on and so forth. The Ritz down in Philadelphia gets added. And so I think Tolkien is a platform release, maybe a little bit faster than that. Like, I think it was originally released in like 20-some theaters and then 400. And now we're in on the break that's like 1,200 theaters. So they are going to continue to go wider and wider. And maybe as they do, the marketing campaign will go along with it. But still, I was a little surprised it didn't do better. So we'll see if it – I mean, the flip side of a limited release is that's why it's a limited release, because if it doesn't do better, they won't expand to 3,000 screens. And then they'll just stop.
Just cut it short.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyway, that was the news from the weekend.
Now, we talked last week about Avengers Week 3 doing better than Week 2 of Avengers. Did that occur? No.
No. That would have been shocking. Unprecedented would be the word.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't really ever see that. The only time you see that is when a movie comes out 1 week and then the next week, like, it comes out on a weekend when it's like beautiful 72 degree sunny day weather, mm-hmm. and then the next weekend it's raining and there's you know, nothing else in the theater, you know, type of thing. But
it did do better than expected.
It did better than expected. I'm not sure if that's the universal opinion, but it did better than I expected.
So yeah. Well, okay. That was what happened this week.
Okay.
Let's move on to listener feedback.
So are we skipping over the movie review?
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I just was distracted by the listener.
You got excited.
Okay. Movie review.
We got some great listener feedback. But first, let's talk about Detective Pikachu. Because this was a movie with a twist.
Yeah.
And then after we're talking about it for a little bit, I'm going to give you a confession.
Okay. All right. So, spoilers for Detective Pikachu. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. I thought this movie was better than I expected it to be. I thought if I knew about Pokemon, I would have enjoyed the fan service a lot more. I think the biggest thing that surprised me about this movie was the fans. They were really, like, the type of experience that I had in the theater on Friday night, I guess technically it opened Friday or Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay.
But
yeah,
Friday's the official opening day.
Right. At 8:45, the crowds were still cheering, like, loudly for things. And I would have expected like that to have been the first two or three shows. Or,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting the level of excitement
wow.
that I got in the theater that was packed. Packed. I mean, I was front row
yeah.
Seating when I came in. And it was like, that was really cool. Stuff that I didn't even understand. You know, they were like, yeah! And I'm like, I don't know why they're clapping, but it must be important.
Cap got the hammer!
Yeah, maybe I just heard the other theater,
right.
You know. But anyway, I for what it was, I enjoyed it. I felt, we're going to talk about the twist, I felt like the twist was fairly obvious coming on. You may not have.
No, I did. I did.
Yeah, I felt like it was kind of obvious. It was like, oh, okay. Well, like, once they kind of revealed something that they could put people's souls into Pokemon.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, so that's his dad.
Right.
And then when it happened, you would have thought that, like, everyone in the crowd that just walked in. They were like, what? I was like, really? So, anyway, what did you think of Detective Pikachu?
I liked it. Here's my confession.
Yeah.
I watched this movie on the installment plan. I sat down here in the theater one morning by myself and started uh-huh. watching it. And I was not able to stay with it. I didn't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had no negativity. This does not count on the very short list of movies that I've walked out on.
Right.
Like Paranormal Activity, I was bored. I was like, whatever, I left.
It was just early and you were tired.
No, it was early and I had a lot on my mind. I had stuff to do. I had emails to reply to and, you know, stuff to do. So then I came back to a public show and like popped in for a little while, you know. And then I was working in Ephrata today and I popped in for a little while longer. And then the second show today, I popped in at the end. I cleaned Avengers. I watched the credits again. Saw the Georgia Peach again. And then when that theater was cleaned, there's only two theaters in Ephrata. So when that theater was cleaned and we were done for the day, I had nothing to do but sort of kill time until Pikachu was done. So I walked over and watched the last 20 minutes that way. So I feel like I don't have a good, honest review of this movie, okay. But I liked what I saw. Ryan Reynolds is great. I thought, to me, like, I had high expectations. So it didn't exceed my expectations. It just, yeah, I thought it was going to be great, and I thought it was great. It was, I know it's rated PG.
Mm-hmm.
It trended younger than I thought it was going to be. I feel like it played to a younger audience.
Yeah.
Either a younger audience or Pokemon fan base. Like those two.
Hypothetically, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
But like we saw a lot of kids coming in with stuffed Pokemon and, you know.
Yeah.
Like little kids. 7, 8-year-old.
This is one of those things, those movies, like I have a coworker with children and she's always like, what about this movie? Is it good for my kids or whatever? And I'm always like, I don't know. My honest opinion is it wasn't really, like, I didn't really enjoy it, but your kids might, you know, like Angry Birds or.
You can't answer that question.
It's hard.
Well, no, it's you can't answer that question. Maybe it's different if, you know, obviously this person's your coworker, so you sort of do know them. But, like, I get asked in the lobby or on the phone or wherever I'm out trying to get a bagel and somebody wants to bend my ear about, you know, whatever. And they say, oh, can my kids see it?
Oh, I don't know how you're raising your kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Has your kid seen all the other Marvel movies? If your kid has seen all the other Marvel movies, why are you asking me if your kid can see the Avengers?
Right.
Like, what makes you think the Avengers is going to be any different from that point of view in terms of kid appropriateness? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and then so if it's a fresh title that none of us know anything about and you're asking me if it's appropriate for my kids, I'm like, I don't know. How do you I mean, my kids were watching R-rated movies as, you know, pretty much your whole life. <You know? laughs> That's how we roll at the Ketchum House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you roll at your house. So I don't know. That's always like a little pet peeve when people ask me. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I guess I think I see what you're saying. I think what I'm more saying is like, will her kids enjoy it?
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I'm like, I mean, I didn't, but they probably would. But this is one I'd be like pretty substantially like, your kids are going to have a good time.
Yeah. I didn't see any kids that didn't look like they were having a good time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Ryan Reynolds as Detective Pikachu, great. Here's the thing that really surprised me about this movie. Two things. One, that I didn't realize that it was a sequel to the other movies, that it's like built into the world of Pokemon.
Huh.
I only know that because this podcast I watched, this YouTube channel did a breakdown. They call it Caravan of Garbage. And they tore apart the original Pokemon movie in preparation for this. And this is a sequel to that somehow. Anyway. And the second one was it's not built – it didn't build itself up for more Detective Pikachus.
Hmm.
Because Detective Pikachu is his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad's back.
Boom.
So.
Kudos to the marketing team.
Yeah.
Because they took a movie that had a plot – and they called that plot a twist and got everybody to sit to talk about how you got to see Pokemon. It has a twist. It doesn't have a twist. It has a plot. It
has a plot. Yeah. Because it's not that surprising. I mean, if it would have like all of a sudden you would have been like, oh, hey. And they had not mentioned that that could happen or anything. That would have been a twist.
I also liked the parade with the gas. Remember last week we were talking about Batman movies?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the penguin that tried to gas a parade?
Joker.
The Joker tried to gas a parade.
Yeah.
And I remember that particular – who was Batman in that movie?
Michael Keaton.
Was that still Michael Keaton? That – like in – especially in – we had this conversation last week, so I won't rehash it. But especially having seen how good Batman can be now, looking back at the gas parade. So Pikachu reminded me of how bad the gas parade was, except Pikachu gets away with it because it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't let the Pokemon breathe the purple gas. You know, like, okay, right. Oh, my God. Because otherwise, what's the Pokemon going to be like? Ooh, look, purple gas. Let me go smell it.
I don't know. Yeah. So I guess, long story short, I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm on board. I recommend it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So now on to listener feedback.
On to listener feedback.
So we got some burns.
Got this a little.
So first,
No, please.
First, Joel hit us. He clapped back and said, "Look, I didn't get to see Ant-Man because life, expenses, taking care of his dog, all very valid things."
I feel like it was unnecessary for him to clarify that, and the reason why is because I know. I haven't gone back and listened to it, but I distinctly remember taking back. Remember we gave him shit for not seeing Ant-Man, but then his insightful commentary about Captain America was so
on
point and impressive. I was like, oh, dang. I take back every shade I threw at you about not seeing it. Like, fine. Like, you're obviously like,
yeah,
that's good. I got nothing to say to you. That's good stuff. So I didn't feel like he needed to clarify that. But he did clarify, which I thought was fun, was like we said, if or at least just don't tell people. And he was like, I didn't tell anybody. I told you guys. And then you jerks went on the air and told everybody. Made me feel like a complete jerk.
Yeah.
Just not... Totally, it's not the first time. It's not a novel experience.
But then round two.
Oh, boy. This is where it got weird. This is where I was like, man, we've gone into some deep water here.
So we were busting on my boy Derek.
What?
About not being able to see Ragnarok. Because he had children. And his wife, she comments on Facebook, oh, you mean the episode where you busted my husband for having kids?
No, for having healthy priorities.
Oh, that's right. Having healthy priorities.
Oh, man.
We gave him a pass.
I thought we did give him a pass.
Yeah, we said, no, that's legit. We did.
Yeah.
And she was just joking around. She wasn't actually. At least from the comment train afterwards, you could tell that she was joking around.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
That was a big franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was talking about it.
Right.
I never saw any of them.
You've never seen any of the Lord of the Rings?
No. No, my kids were little. I didn't get out to the movies.
Still?
Oh, no, I've seen them since.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying...
I was like, still?
What? No. I'm saying that my viewing of Lord of the Rings is within the last 6 or 8 years.
Okay. All right.
I never saw them in the theater. I never even came close, to having the chance to see them because you had little kids. When you have little kids like that, you're not getting out.
No, it's true. It's true. They are healthy priorities. Right. We're just being schmucks over here because it's what we do.
It's what we're good at.
Yeah. If I'm not making funny, I probably don't like it.
I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah. So, I guess apologies?
Wait. I feel like I want to get a little clarity on this.
Okay, hit me up.
No, I'm not. You don't need to clarify anything.
Oh, okay.
Did Mrs. Derek listen to the podcast and take offense? Or did this come up like at dinner?
I feel like it's more of a dinner conversation. They were making fun of me on the podcast.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably more how it went.
Okay.
But please clarify.
Yeah.
So did we have anything? I don't think we had anything else coming.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. So what were you up to this week?
Well, this new show, Dead to Me.
Right.
As I mentioned here before, I got the text from Marley, you got to watch Dead to Me. I saw it like on the little, I was scrolling past it and Christina Applegate and the other lady whose name I can't pronounce. And I thought,
you can't pronounce her name? What?
Right. I know, it's weird. But anyway, this movie Dead to Me, or this series, I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Great. I really recommend it. The premise is the lady, her husband, Christina Applegate's husband, gets hit by a car and dies. You don't see that right away. That's just the premise. And then she meets this other lady who's insane at a grief support group. And because I don't want to spoil the show for you, I'm not going to say anything else. But I'll just say it's one of those shows where it just keeps getting better and better. It reminds me of Russian Doll.
Okay.
Where you watch the first couple episodes and you're like, well, how long can this go on? And right at the end of each episode, there's like a whole nother like insight. And you're like, oh, my God. So the show is Dead to Me. And it was interesting because Marley turned me on to it. I started watching it. And then one of our favorite listeners, the Mystery Gibble, texted me and said, you got to watch this new show, Dead to Me. And I was like, bruh.
I'm on it.
Way ahead of you.
Don't you listen to the podcast?
So there's that is what I've been up to. And then also I wanted to mention, because I'll look forward to reporting back next week, I'm going to a East Coast, so like a minor league movie convention this week in Maryland on Wednesday. And we're going to, in the afternoon, we're going to screen Late Night. And in the evening, we're going to screen Brightburn, which I'm excited. I only want to see Late Night just almost like the way you want to see a car accident. You know, like I have such low expectations for this movie. I don't know how you feel, but.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's like I'm curious only because it just baffles me that it can do well.
Yeah. I know the studio is going to want to play it in Huntington Valley. And if I've seen the movie, I can tell them no.
Oh.
You know, and if I haven't, I mean, I can tell them anything I want, but I feel like because I try to operate with some integrity, you know, if I don't want to, although it hasn't stopped me before, but I don't like saying to the studios, the movie looks like crap, so I'm not playing it.
Right.
I would rather say, I saw the movie, it was crap, I'm not playing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about you? What are you rocking?
Well, I just want to bounce back one minute to feedback.
One step.
Robert Reed hit us up.
Oh, right. Yeah. How did we forget this?
Yeah. He was on board. We had the idea of a Booksmart podcast party.
Yes.
He said it was a great idea. He said we'll have a special show, meet for drinks at Mix afterwards, maybe do something with pets, or if you do John Wick, have, I guess John Wick was have the pets.
Wait.
Booksmart was bring a Booksmart was bring a book.
Right.
Book exchange. John Wick was bring a dog.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work.
Sounds very complicated.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
For the concept. But, and I.
Yeah, the idea of doing something seems to be like a pretty cool idea.
So I checked my calendar. Uh-huh. The movie comes out on May 24th, which means we would watch it on May 23rd at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale now, and we'll do something.
Okay, for Booksmart.
Yeah, so if you're down, go buy your ticket. And I'm going to get me and David tickets, and we're going to be sitting right there in the middle. And, yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm on board for sure.
I definitely think we can find a way to, like, make it better than just showing up for a movie. Like, we'll kick it up a notch.
Okay.
PC style.
PC style.
What's up?
Okay, back to what I've been doing this week. Last night, I jumped in to Ip Man 3. Intellectual Property Man. A 3, and let me tell you, it did not disappoint. It's probably the weakest of all 3, in my opinion. However, he does fight Mike Tyson. So there's that.
Wait, he fights a character played by Mike Tyson, or he fights Mike Tyson?
He fights a character played by Mike Tyson.
Wow. With the tattoo?
With the tattoo, playing an American guy in Hong Kong who kind of like runs kind of an underground gang or whatever. Kind of hard to understand what exactly he runs, but the point of it is he is not a good guy.
Yeah.
But he also isn't the worst man in the world because they have a casual duel. And all I'm saying is these movies have not disappointed me while simultaneously being not over the top, like as crazy as I thought they were going to be. So you need to watch these movies.
Okay. Yeah. I will.
It should put it on your list. Another thing I want to mention is I've been listening to a podcast called All Crime, No Cattle, and it's a true crime podcast out of Texas. Pretty interesting stuff, just about like, what was the guy, this eyeball murder guy who, like, there were a couple murders and they looked normal, but then they realized that people were missing their eyeballs and stuff. I don't know. If you're into true crime stuff, like Serial or whatever, it's a much smaller time investment because usually it's only an episode or two, so like 2 hours of your time. But it's pretty good stuff. And finally, tomorrow, What We Left Behind, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the documentary.
Is that tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. It's one night only, 7 p.m. You're going to miss it, but I'm going to be there. I'm pretty psyched. I'm surprised how packed up the theater is for it.
Yeah,
so that's pretty rad.
I'm going to come in tomorrow morning and I'll be looking at whether or not to add another screen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So that's what I'm done and what I'm doing. But we got a big thing coming up this week.
Yes, we do. I cannot even sit still.
John Wick 3.
Parabellum.
I almost wanted to watch the first John Wick today. I'm so psyched for this movie.
Wait, you saw the first John Wick, right?
I've seen them now. When we started the podcast, I had not seen them.
Right,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen them both.
I'm so excited. And we talked about, I mean, I think just the name of this movie alone, Preparing for War. We talked about Parabellum as Latin for preparing for war. And that's just such a badass title. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah. Do you think this is the final? The finale?
It would not surprise me if it was the finale.
Okay.
It would shock me. I mean, whoa, you just blew my mind. If he dies at the end?
Yeah.
No,
I don't think he will.
Nah, brah.
Someone said on Facebook that I thought it was great. It's like the only person who can outwick John Wick is John Wick Parabellum. So.
It's funny. I hadn't even thought of that. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Well, put on your Judy Garland makeup and come see John Wick 3.
Oh, my God. So John Wick 3 opens Thursday night, and so that's what we'll be discussing next week.
Yeah.
Or as it says in the show notes, John freaking Wick. Except it doesn't say freaking. Like in Christmas Story when he says, but I didn't say fudge.
All right. Well, hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook. You can find the podcast everywhere, including on Stitcher. Email us, podcast@penncinema.com. We'd love to hear from you about whatever you want to talk about.
Drop a review.
Yeah, drop a review, please.
Unless you're bitter
about what we said, right. Or we made fun of you, or whatever. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton,
and I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good catch?
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.